So I've been working with LifeWise Academy for a little over a year. As you saw in the film, LifeWise Academy is bringing the Bible back into the public school curriculum. Yes, that's correct. It is doing it. And yes, it's legal. It is legal. They're using a little-known law, which came from passed in the 1950s, challenged in the courts, went all the way to the Supreme Court, has been upheld by the United States Supreme Court. It is called Release Time for Religious Instruction. You want to become familiar with that. RTRI. Release Time for Religious Instruction. The law allows the Bible to be taught in the public school or be part of the public school curriculum and taught during the school day as an elective, during the school day, not before school, not after. It can be taught during the school day. Everybody say, during the school day. Yeah, yeah. Now, there's some requirements. It has to be off campus, has to be privately funded, and have to have parental consent. But it's being done. LifeWise Academy currently is in about 20 schools, most of them in Ohio, many of them right here in central Ohio. Whitehall has the academy going right now, the town right next door to us. New Albany, which was much of that video, New Albany has the program going right now. And there's about 8 other locals that are approved to start this fall. Upper Arlington will be starting this fall. Hilliard, Westerville, some Columbus public schools will all be starting this year, this fall. And so right now in the schools, they have 6,000 students enrolled in LifeWise Academy schools. 6,000 students. By next year's school, when it starts in 2022, there'll be upwards into the 20,000 students being taught the Bible. At the rate they're going, they're expecting to be hitting 100,000 students within less than 5 years. 100,000 students. Keep in mind, overwhelming majority of these students are completely unchurched. As you saw in the video, they do not know anything about Jesus. I sat in on a class 2 weeks ago. The little kids were raising their hands. They were talking about prayer, and they said, "Teacher, I never prayed before. I pray to Jesus now." Another kid, yeah, me too. He goes, I'm praying to Jesus now too. It's like, are you kidding me? This is unbelievable. This is absolutely incredible. Children that have never been taught the Word of God are being taught this. Now, this program is only about 4 years old. Started as a small project up in Van Wert, Ohio, and they just thought it would be a project. But it grew so rapidly in the last couple years, or the first couple years, it grew so rapidly, they started saying it's a ministry for the state of Ohio. They realized this is bigger than just Van Wert. But in the last year, it has grown so rapidly, they're now talking about a movement of God sweeping this country. Now, we are seeing history right now. I'm going to tell you something. This is so important. I was part of a move of God about 50 years ago when the Jesus People movement swept this country, late 60s, early 70s. Over 100,000 young people in their 20s and late teens got saved. From that movement, pastors came. I'm one of them. Hundreds of pastors came out of that movement. Hundreds of churches came out of that movement. Church associations came out of that movement. Our church, this church, is the result of a move of God which swept this country. The thing is, movements of God have seasons. I wish they would last forever, but you read about movements of God in the 1800s that swept this country, movements of God in the early 1900s. This was a movement of God. They last 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and then something changes. But here's the thing. You are seeing right now the beginnings of another movement of God. It is about to sweep this country. I'm telling you, this is a fact. It is going to sweep this country. And here's the thing. I'm going to be a part of this one. I'm not going to be on the outside looking in. You want to be a part of it. You don't want to read about other movements and say, oh, I wish I could have been there. You're here now. I'm telling you right now, this is a movement of God. It is sweeping this country. Hundreds of new requests are coming in every week to their headquarters. They got their people all over the country now working with different school groups interested in starting LifeWise Academies. It's absolutely shocking. Right now, I'm working with the Reynoldsburg School District. I'm going to be bringing this into the Reynoldsburg schools. This is the goal. Long, long journey. I wish I could say it was a 1 or 2 month project. We're hoping to get it in 2023. We're working with the Reynoldsburg School Board. We've been meeting with them individually, talking about getting their policy. We need their vote. We're hoping to get their vote by the end of the summer. That will really get us launched to where we can do the things we need to do to be ready for the 2023. I need your help. That's why I asked Pastor Chip, could I have a Sunday? I need your help. I need for you to help us. We are building a community interest list. You see in your bulletins a flyer. The flyer is a signature where you can sign, and what we're trying to do is collect signatures. We have over 400 now. We're shooting for 1,000. And with these with this list, if you sign this list, what you're saying is, I think having the Bible as part of a public school curriculum, as an elective, so students can choose, I think that's a good idea. How many of you think having the Bible in the curriculum is a good idea? Come on. An elective in the curriculum, that's all we're asking. An elective in the curriculum. Yes, this is a good idea. So I need your signatures. You put that on there. We're going to build this list. When we meet with them, hopefully by the end of summer, we're looking to have 1,000 names on here to say, look, we've got 1,000 people who are in agreement, think we need this. You don't have to live in Reynoldsburg to sign this. If you go to church here, that means you're involved in this community. If you work here, that means you're involved in this community. If you live here, any of those three, you can sign this. You can sign it and put another school, but if you work here, go to church here, live here, fill that paper out, put Reynoldsburg Schools, you'll become part of our community interest list. But I need more than your signatures. I'm going to need volunteers. I mean, this is a major project here. On that thing, you can sign volunteer. I'm going to need volunteers to be teacher's assistants. You can volunteer for half a day. Once we start it in 2023, I need about 20 volunteers per school. So you could help out by being a volunteer. You could help out by helping me as we go around promoting this. We're going to be promoting this in the Reynoldsburg Tomato Festival, hopefully in the parade, trying to get the word out so that parents are ready to sign their students up. So I need volunteers. And then, of course, the cost. So this costs $120 per student, which is cheap. That's a school year for their materials. But if we get one school, so Whitehall just is doing one school right now, over 200 students they have coming to their academy. They're getting ready to launch another public school, 500 students. I mean, we're talking just curriculum, $25,000 just curriculum. And then we have to hire a teacher. We may have to get a bus to transport them, even if the location is close to the school, we still probably have to transport. So I've got to raise $75,000 to $100,000 per school. Just telling you what we're facing, but I'm in. I'm telling you I'm in. I already have two local churches, one right down the road from us. United Faith Community, Pastor Gerald Sappho, their church is right across the street from Slate Ridge. They've already committed to use their church as the host for the classroom for the elementary kids to come right across the street. I have a second church up on Rose Hill Road, Crosswalk Church. They're right across from Rose Hill Elementary. So I've got two churches, two schools. We're going after 6 elementary, and then we'll do middle school, then we'll do high school. We'll do them all, but it's going to be years of labor. But this, I'm telling you, I'm in on this. I really am excited about this. And here's a thought. For those of you who've been around for a while, I believe this is what we have been waiting for since 1973 when prayer was kicked out of the public schools. This is what we've been waiting for. We're getting it right back in. These students are praying, being taught about God and his ways. It's happening. It's happening. And just a personal story. Okay, this is why this is close to home for me. So about 30 years ago, I put together just for myself a bucket list. It's just things I really wanted to see happen in my life as pastor before I retired. This is a short list, but one of them was I wanted to finish my college education, get my Bible degree. Check, I got that done. Another one was I wanted to publish some books, just material that I'd developed. I got that done. They're on Amazon. You can get them. Check, got that one done. Another one was, this is 30 years ago, I was praying, God, I just hope at the end of my run here, we've seen at least 5,000 people brought into the kingdom of God. Man, we far surpassed that. We're well over 10,000 people have been saved as a result of this church here. 10,000. 10,000. Many of them through a 10-year run with HealthStop. We just saw hundreds saved every single year. Hundreds and hundreds. But check on that one. But I had a fourth one, and it was bring the Bible back into the public schools. And at that time, I had gotten my hands on some curriculum that had the Bible taught as history, a history book, as an elective in the public schools. So I met with the superintendent. I had been working with the schools at that time, had a relationship with him, said, hey, you know, can we do this? It's legal. No, I can't do it. I don't want it. Just shut me down. And so I was discouraged. I took the curriculum. I put it in my desk, and it sat there for 30 years. At the end of 2020, as I was getting ready to retire, I'm cleaning out my desk. I see the curriculum. I pull it out. It's been sitting there 30 years. And I go, well, I tried, and then I tore it up and threw it in the garbage. Well, God has a way. I mean, God has a way. It just shocks me sometimes. But 4 or 5 months later, I'm at another Vineyard church to speak on Sunday. And it just so happened on that Sunday, they were promoting LifeWise Academy. I'd never heard of it before. I hear these people talking. I see this video. I'm telling you, I was so shocked. I think the best way I can describe it, I felt like I was born again. I'm telling you, I'm just going, what? What? You're doing this right here? I about jumped out of my chair after the service. I went around. I'm joining. What does it take? Give me the tattoo. I'll sign. What? I don't know. I'm in. I want to do this. She goes, okay, here's what you got to do. You know, the whole thing. And so I've been working with them. I've been working with them for a year. And I'm telling you, if there's anything I want to be remembered for, it would be my love for the Word of God, my respect and my understanding that this book is powerful. This book is life transforming. I've been reading the Bible now almost 50 years. Just try and wrap your head around somebody reading the same book, 50 years. I love stats. I'm sure I've got 25,000 hours invested in reading and studying this book. I'm sure I've read through it 20 times, Genesis to Revelation. I taught through it at least 3 times. And I can tell you, it has been the best investment of my life. And so because of that, the sermon is wrapped around that this morning. So my title for the sermon is called, Why I'm Bringing a Dangerous Weapon to School. You know what? There's probably a gene missing in my brain. Why? I don't know why I come up with crazy sermon titles. I think it might, I'm going to blame God. I think it's a gift. I'm studying scripture and these things just pop into my head, these titles and sermon titles. And I've often said, if I just get the sermon title right, the rest of the sermon will fall in place. And it's kind of that shock therapy. He's like, what did he just say? Matter of fact, I'm having a lot of fun with my podcast. If you have not checked into my podcast, you really need to. I think I'm up to 60 right now, and I think most of those titles are like, what? But it's just a different perspective. But here's the thing. The Bible calls itself a dangerous weapon. And I want to just look at two simple verses this morning and just help you out a little bit. Why I'm excited about bringing this book into the public schools. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I haven't only read the scriptures, but many times I would just for the fun of it, memorize passages, chapters, and just different. This was one of my memorized chapters. The word of God is alive. It's a weapon. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And in the book of Ephesians, it's called the sword of the Spirit. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. It's a weapon. It's going to cut through all the darkness and the chaos. This book is going to bring the light of God, the love of God, the laws of God back into our public schools. It's alive. I believe this is not an ordinary book. This isn't just some novel that you read once or twice and you say, you know, that's really good. This is a book that God talks through. God talks to me through the book. He uses the Holy Spirit, but he talks. This is where you hear the voice of God. Now God can talk through lots of different things. We know this. God can talk through music. God can talk through nature. God can talk through other people. But let me help you out here. This book is the most common way that God speaks. And something I've heard way too many Christians say to me over the years, I have a hard time recognizing God's voice. Many Christians, I'm sure many of you struggle with that. I can't tell if it's God. I don't know if it's me. I haven't heard God's voice. Look, this is the way you hear God's voice. This is how you can recognize his voice. You read it and he speaks to you. And the thing is, there's so many voices out there today. Think of what our students, young people are hearing. There's so many voices. I mean, they're hearing voices, especially the social media. You know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, this is the voice they're hearing. They're hearing voices through music. They're hearing voices through their friends. Adults are hearing voices through talk shows and news broadcasters. The thing is, there's a lot of voices out there. This needs to be one of them. This needs to be here in the minds of children. This, it says here, this is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So you have people hearing all kinds of stuff, and it's like interference, and the word of God cuts through that and speaks truth. It discerns truth from lies. People are hearing things. They're hearing it from somewhere or somebody, or they're hearing it from the devil himself or a demon. There's thoughts. People, you know, just so much stuff coming at people right now. And it's like, well, what? You surely don't want to base your life on people's opinions. You're going to base your life, base it on this. And because it's alive, it says the word of God is living. What this means is this is not a static old book. It's not, we're not talking magical, we're talking supernatural. There's something supernatural about this book that keeps it relevant to today. I've heard many people say to me over the years, I don't read the Bible because it's irrelevant. And I just want to punch them, but I know that's just with love. Everything's with love, you know. No, I don't. Honestly, I feel bad. I feel bad because I think They're so ignorant. They're really uneducated. Listen, the Bible is relevant to every social issue of the day. I'm telling you, it deals with everything that's in the news. The Bible talks about how to care for the poor. The Bible talks about immigration. The Bible talks about welfare. The Bible talks about debt. The Bible talks about gender identity issues. The Bible talks about homosexuality. The Bible talks about criminal justice. It talks about marriage, divorce, lawsuits, private property, capitalism, nationalism. You name it, there's teaching and godly principles about every one of those. It's true. This is true. And if you want, you can Google it. I've preached sermons on many of those topics from Scripture. There's many preachers out there preaching good sermons on the topics of the day from Scripture. So we want to develop a godly base where we come from, we draw from the principles of God when we talk about this stuff. But this is the thing. This book is living. It's current. It will never be out of date, ever. Never. That's what it means when it's living. It's just there. And here's the other thing. It's not just the social issues of the day. This is even better than that. It deals with us personally. So when I'm reading the word, I get personal revelations. That's referred to as rhema or inspiration. What that means is if I'm going through something, I'm trying to figure out how do I handle this conflict. What do I do about this financial situation? How do I handle this challenging thing at work? Whatever it is, the Word of God is one of the methods that God uses to give you the answer. So many times in my life, I'm praying about something for days or weeks, and I'm reading all of a sudden, oh my gosh, look at that. That's exactly what I needed to see. Personal revelation. So you get answers for social issues. You get answers for personal revelation. And then here's the best thing about this. It really is easy to understand. Okay? Please, would you just, I know you don't believe that, but just say, the Bible's easy. It's easy. Now think about this. Would you please think about this? It has been interpreted and translated for you into English. You don't have to be a Hebrew scholar or a Greek scholar. The men who did this were brilliant men, highly educated, could speak many languages, devout men of God who did the translation for you. I don't need to know Hebrew or Greek. I just need to be able to read English. And I'm assuming most of you, if not all of you, are literate. You can read. So if you can read, it's not that hard. And I'll give you a little caveat. I know there are some things there when you read, you go, what is that about? Like the book of Revelation. It's like, what is that? So listen, don't worry about what you don't understand. I promise you, what little you do understand is going to keep you plenty busy. Plenty busy, okay? Work on that. And then work on the other stuff. So God will give you understanding, but no one fully understands the book. But man, there's so much there. There's so much there, and it's in plain English, and it's not that hard. You just read it and go, wow, yes, okay, that's right. I'm going to do that. God help me. So it's not that hard to understand. Last couple of things. It's called a sword. So. Don't you think it's interesting? It's called a weapon, isn't it? That's like politically incorrect, you know? You don't talk about weapons. And just for clarification, so I don't get arrested, I am not talking about bringing this to school, all right? All right, actually, you know what's really cool? So I do think you should bring that dangerous weapon to school, but not the metal sword. But what we used to have to bring, if you were going to school, you used to have to bring this book. You know what's cool now? It's concealed carry. Whip it out, baby. It's right there, you know. You got concealed carry. You got the Word of God. Bring it into the schools, man. But it's a sword. Swords are weapons. They're meant to be used for fighting. And Jesus understood this. So Jesus used the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, when he was being tempted by the devil. Listen, if Jesus did that, might be a good idea we do that. How did Jesus do? What did he say when he was being tempted by the devil? Three words. It is written. He's tempted by the devil. He doesn't argue with him. He doesn't dispute with him. Word of God. Word of God. He's in a sword fight with the devil. It is written. This is a weapon. You want to fight temptation? It is written. Help me out. It is written. That's using your sword. Peter, the apostle Peter, last thing, Peter had a metal sword, a real sword, when he was in the garden and Jesus was being arrested. Peter takes the sword out. Look at the way it reads. It looks like he was trying to cut the guy's head off, and the guy ducked his head, and it's like he sliced his ear off. And Jesus, that's a crazy story, picks up the ear, glues it back on, heals the man, tells Peter, "That's not going to work, Peter. Put the sword up." I'm sure Peter was confused. Well, just a short time later, Peter used the sword of the Spirit and he preached a sermon on Pentecost. And when he preached that sermon, it was scripture. He was telling them scripture. And it says when he was done, it said the men were cut to the heart. Peter understood. Oh, man, I can get a lot more done with the sword of the Spirit. You learn to wield this thing. It's powerful. It's powerful. It's a gift. You know, in summary, pastors, we have a heart for our people, and more than anything, we want you to read the word, right? And so we say things like, you need to read the Bible. We know that. We know we should read the Bible. But this morning, I just want to take it up just another notch. I want to say it like this. Rather than the Bible being a have to, it's a get to. You get to. It's you're not persecuted in this country. It's in every home. You can read. It's in English. You get to. And when you get to, you begin to see this book is powerful. It's living. It's sharp, man. It's a weapon. And the greatest thing is we're bringing it back into the public schools. So glory to God. Glory to God. Man. So, Father, thank you that you have given us your word. Wow. Oh, God. Thank you. Thank you that it's living, it's personal, it's easy. God, thank you that we live in America. God, I thank you that we're seeing the beginning of a historical movement in this country. And I pray, God, we jump on board and we ride this thing for as long as it can be ridden, God, that we will see a movement of your Holy Spirit, God. In Jesus' name, amen.